Welcome to Journal Club with Happy. I'm your host, Happy Kasai, and I'm a graduate student at Vanderbilt University. This podcast is structured as a short scientific journal club where I'll discuss scientific papers and relate their major findings. Generally, journal clubs have a scientific audience ranging from undergraduate science students to university professors, and the language used in journal clubs is very specific to the field of study. For this podcast, I use everyday language to explain science. It's not going to be easy, but hopefully it will get better over time. I'm also a science student, so in this podcast, we learn science together. As I've said in last week's episode, I'm doing a series on Alzheimer's disease. In this series, I'll cover research papers that investigate Alzheimer's disease using different approaches. In last week's episode, we looked at how brain cells organize themselves in Alzheimer's disease. I also introduced two of the hallmarks of the disease, which are amyloid plaques and tau tangles. For today, I have picked another Alzheimer's paper, but this time, instead of looking at Alzheimer's disease from an amyloid perspective, today's paper establishes a causal relationship between the gut microbiome and the cognitive symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. The title of the paper is Microbiota from Alzheimer's Patients Induce Deficits in Cognition and Hippocampal Neurogenesis. It was published in the journal Brain in August of 2023, and it comes out of Dr. Yvonne Nolan's lab at University College Cork in Ireland. The first author on this paper is Stephanie Grabrucker. I'll add here that University College Cork has been doing great research in understanding the relationship between the gut microbiome and brain health, and I'm sure we'll see more papers on this topic from this institution. As always, we will start reading the paper from its title. There are three major terms in that title. They are microbiota, cognition deficits, and neurogenesis. I'll elaborate on what these expressions refer to and how they are relevant in the study of Alzheimer's. After that, we'll talk about this specific study and the results that came from it. There is one important aspect of the hippocampus that I would like to share with you as an introduction to today's paper. The hippocampus is one region of the brain that hosts adult neurogenesis. The process is called adult hippocampal neurogenesis. The term neurogenesis is a combination of the two terms neuron and genesis. Neuron refers to the nerve cells, and genesis refers to origination or creation. Together, neurogenesis refers to the origination of new functional neurons. This is particularly important because the neurons in the brain are considered to be limited in number. Generally, we're born with all the neurons that we'll use for our entire lives, and we do not get new ones during adulthood. However, the hippocampus is a special region in the brain because it can have new neurons even during adulthood. The reason here is because of the function of the hippocampus. The hippocampus is considered to be the place of memory and learning in the brain. And as we learn new memories, there's a requirement for new neurons to store those new memories. Here, I'm not saying that every new memory requires the birth of new neurons, but the hippocampus is one region in the brain that is plastic and can produce new functional neurons, and those neurons can join networks and circuits for learning and memory. As you may predict, this process of neurogenesis is dysregulated in Alzheimer's, especially during the early stages of the disease. I introduced Alzheimer's disease as a neurodegenerative disease that kills neurons in the brain. But before Alzheimer's patients actually start losing their neurons, they lose the ability to make functional neurons in the hippocampus, and that contributes to the memory loss and cognitive deficits that the patients experience. With that said, another side of the story is the gut microbiome. The gut microbiome is the collection of all the microorganisms, which includes the bacteria, fungi, and viruses that live in our gut, and more specifically, in our intestines. These microorganisms are generally good and beneficial because they use some of the food that we consume and convert it into chemicals that promote good brain health. I mentioned the brain here because it happens to be the body part that is important for today's discussion. but those chemicals produced by the gut microorganisms support optimum health of all our body parts. The role of the gut microbiome in neurodegeneration has been a recent hypothesis, but it's an exciting one. The gut has a lot of nerves, so it has strong communication with the brain, and some scientists consider the gut as the second brain in the human body. One of the observations that was made in the past few years has been the difference in the composition of the gut microbiome between Alzheimer's patients and healthy individuals. Researchers investigated the types of bacteria that are present in the gut of healthy individuals and compared them to the bacteria types that have colonized the gut of Alzheimer's patients. And there were some big differences. Some of the good bacteria that produce health-supporting chemicals are reduced in the gut of Alzheimer's patients. I'll give you one example. One type of bacteria is the Coprococcus. The Coprococcus produce the short-chain fatty acid butyrate, and they produce butyrate from the fiber that is found in our food. And the product butyrate is important for a healthy brain and for healthy aging in general. To reiterate, there are differences in the gut microbiome composition between healthy individuals and Alzheimer's patients. But until now, until this particular study, science never made the cause-effect relationship between the bacteria in the gut and dementia symptoms in Alzheimer's disease. So far, the results were only associative. We used to say that a change in gut microbiome composition is associated with Alzheimer's disease, but with this particular study, we can now say that a change in gut microbiome composition causes Alzheimer's disease. This is incredible, because very little research out there forms causal relationships between Alzheimer's disease and genetic and environmental factors. I hope that gives us a good introduction to the role of the gut microbiome and how it is implicated in Alzheimer's disease. Now let's look at the method that this research team used to make that causal relationship. In this study, the research team used young rats. These are healthy rats that do not have any Alzheimer's symptoms. And these rats were kept in very clean conditions so that they were not getting bacteria from their living environment. The research team then gave these rats a cocktail of antibiotics to clear out all the bacteria in their gut. They used different kinds of antibiotics at a very high dose to kill all the bacteria that were living in the intestines of the rats. After that, the research team transplanted fecal matter from either healthy individuals or human Alzheimer's patients to the rats. This transplant happened by feeding the rats processed human feces. That is not a pretty picture, and as I was preparing for this journal club, I hesitated before including that detail. But here I would like to add that fecal matter transplant is one form of therapy that is currently being used in humans to treat certain diseases like recurring infections of Clostridium difficile and inflammatory bowel disease. Fecal matter transplant is also being tested to treat neurodegeneration. So there's a very high chance that it will be a common form of treatment in the near future. In this study, fecal matter transplantation allowed the research team to test the human gut microbiome in the rat model. After 2 weeks from the transplantation, the research team tested the rats in multiple behavioral experiments to test their memory and cognition. One of the tests they ran is called the Modified Spontaneous Location Recognition Task. This task exposes the rats to familiar and novel locations and tests them if they could recognize the new location. These experiments presented the rats with tasks, and their performance was used to assess if the transplanted gut microbiome is affecting the behavior and performance of the rats. The research team also looked at the brain and gut of the rats under a microscope to see how fecal matter transplantation affected the two organs. And they also measured the level of certain chemicals in the gut and the brain of the rats to get a profile of the chemicals that were being produced by the gut bacteria. With that said about the methods used in this study, now let's look at the findings. The primary result from this study came from the cognitive and memory experiments. The rats that had fecal matter from Alzheimer's patients performed poorly when compared to the control group of rats that had fecal matter from healthy individuals. I'll say that again. In the cognitive tasks, The rats that had fecal matter from Alzheimer's patients performed poorly when compared to the control group of rats that had fecal matter from healthy individuals. The research team saw that the Alzheimer's microbiome colonized rats had impaired long-term spatial memory and the different memory tasks that they underwent. The group of humanized Alzheimer's rats performed worse in a novel recognition memory task and failed to differentiate the new location when performing that task. This deficit in novelty recognition and long-term spatial memory is one of the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, and in this study, these symptoms were caused by the composition of the gut microbiome. So this first finding confirmed that human Alzheimer's gut bacteria are not only associated, but cause Alzheimer's symptoms in healthy rats. The researchers then looked at how adult hippocampal neurogenesis is affected in the rats after fecal matter transplantation. I would like to remind you here that adult hippocampal neurogenesis is a process that creates new functional neurons in the hippocampus during adulthood. And the hippocampus is the region of the brain responsible for learning and memory. So the research team wanted to see if this neurogenesis process is responsible for the cognitive and memory deficits that the rats experienced after fecal matter transplantation. When the research team looked at the brain of the rats, they observed that the process of neurogenesis was affected in the group that had Alzheimer fecal matter transplantation. This result further supports the link between the gut microbiome and neurogenesis in the brain. And the brains of the rats that had fecal transplants from Alzheimer's patients, there was reduced survival of new neurons in the hippocampus. I'll say that again. The rats that had fecal transplants from Alzheimer's patients have fewer new neurons in their hippocampus because the process of neurogenesis was affected. In addition to the reduction in number, there was also a reduction in structural complexity of the neurons. The structural complexity of the hippocampal neurons was reduced in the Alzheimer's fecal transplant group. This reduction in complexity affects the function of these new neurons in the hippocampus and contributes to the cognitive and memory deficits. I would like to add another related finding here because it relates today's discussion to last week's journal club. The research team looked at the brain of the rats to see if there were any amyloid plaque depositions. These amyloid depositions are the major hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease, like we talked about in the previous journal club. However, the researchers did not see any amyloid plaques in the rats after fecal matter transplantation. And this tells us that the disruption of neurogenesis in the hippocampus happens before plaque accumulation in the brain. I will elaborate on that. The origination of new neurons in the hippocampus is disrupted before protein aggregates form in Alzheimer's disease. Therefore, the deficit in neurogenesis precedes protein aggregation and the progression of Alzheimer's disease from the early stages to the late stages of the disease. The third important result from this study establishes the link between the gut, which is located in the abdomen, and the hippocampus, which is all the way in the brain. In the gut, all the good chemicals produced by the microbiome are absorbed into our blood to be transported all over the body and also to the brain. Therefore, our blood will have those chemicals that support the process of neurogenesis in the hippocampus. Keeping this in mind, the research team looked at the level of certain chemicals in the gut and the brain of rats after fecal matter transplantation and saw some differences between the Alzheimer's group and the control group. Rats with the Alzheimer's fecal transplant had higher levels of histidine, aminoadipic acid, kynurenic acid, and xanthorenic acid. You do not have to remember the name of these chemicals to understand the processes that they're involved in. I'm just listing them as examples, but I would like for you to know that all those chemicals have been implicated in brain health and neuroinflammation. In contrast to the increase in the previous chemicals, the research team observed that there was a decrease in hydroxybutyrate. I introduced the close relative of hydroxybutyrate earlier. It was butyrate, and it's the major short-chain fatty acid that is produced by the gut microbiome and that promotes healthy brain and healthy aging. The Alzheimer's group of rats also had lower levels of taurine and homocitrulline, which are both good chemicals that regulate the process of neurogenesis in the hippocampus. From this result, we learned that the gut microbiome is affecting neurogenesis in the hippocampus by producing certain chemicals that are absorbed in blood and transported to the brain. Those were all the findings from this paper. The take-home point from today's journal club is that a change in gut microbiome composition affects the origination of new functional neurons in the hippocampus and lead to the development of Alzheimer's disease. This study makes me hopeful about the prospect of neuroscience in understanding the role of the gut in brain health. And I hope it had the same effect on you. Because like I said last time, Alzheimer's disease is a burning question both in the clinic and the research field. As always, I'll add a PubMed link to the original article under the episode notes so that you can access the original article directly. I'll also add a link to Dr. Nolan's lab webpage so that you can check out the focus of the lab and other publications. This series on Alzheimer's disease continues in the next episode. And until next week, ciao.